Hi.
Hey. How are you doing?
Well, I'm a little annoyed because I don't know why I ever bothered to tell you anything.
Because you said 601 and I heard 606?
Yeah, and I also, that was after I said 601 and you heard 594.
I don't know what to say. You got me dead to rights on this one. I did misunderstand twice the page to which we were supposed to read. So we read to page 601.
We read through page 601.
We read through page 601.
Which is half of the last
all the way
chapter.
To page 606 for me.
Don't no Caitlin, spoilers no, from no spoilers. Pages 602 to 606, no please.
And I ain't saying shit about what happened in those pages. As long as we make sure not to go past those pages in our discussion.
Yeah. Here's where I ended.
Okay.
Paul was just about to talk to the Reverend Mother
Gaius Helen Mohame.
Yeah, that lady.
Yeah, I know the lady.
Yeah.
I know the lady we're talking about. Well, so this is my girlfriend begrudgingly rereads Dune. And we haven't done this in a while.
Long time.
It has been a while. We've been...
Are we up to date on the episodes uploaded, or are there still ones that need uploading?
There's still some that need uploading. Yeah. TBH. Okay, well... So we're okay. We've got a rich thing of putting out podcasts for the next couple of weeks or so.
What do we call our fans? Have we ever called them anything? Like Doonies, Duneheads,
I feel like
girlfriend heads.
I feel like we've talked about this.
I like
this.
Girlfriend heads.
Girlfriend heads? Yeah. Sure, girlfriend heads. I mean, that sounds a little creepy, like, you know. I mean, are these girlfriend heads kept in a freezer or something?
Ugh, that makes it even better. That makes me want it to be my band name.
Okay. Girlfriend heads?
Yeah.
In a freezer?
Yeah. No, not in a freezer,
just
but that's implied.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's not like, and it's not like girlfriend head, like you're getting head from
your
girlfriend.
No, it's definitely not that.
Okay.
It's girlfriend heads.
Okay, girlfriend heads.
Yeah. So girlfriend heads, we are coming at you. We're coming back at you after a long time because Dune,
the movie,
película, if you speak Spanish, is coming out in
October
22nd.
And so we thought, well, heck, we better finish up this project while it's still, you know, important to people.
So we'll do this episode. This is half of the last chapter.
Last chapter of Dune.
We'll do the next episode. That's the rest of the last chapter.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll do an episode about the movie, right?
Yeah, once we go see the movie in theaters, imagine. We're going to go see this one in theaters?
Yeah, let's see it in theaters.
Okay.
And I mean, you know, I love me a Timothée Chalamet, so... Mm-hmm.
I mean, they've got so many great people in it. They got Timothée Chalamet, they got the guy that played Khal Drogo and Aquaman. I forget his name.
Jason Momoa. No, that's Aquaman, I thought.
Yeah, he's also Aquaman. He's also in this movie.
Oh.
I think he plays Gurney.
What's a Khal Drogo?
Khal Drogo, that's from Game of Thrones.
Oh.
He was in Game of Thrones. He played Khal Drogo.
Oh.
In Game of Thrones.
And Aquaman.
And also Aquaman.
I thought you were saying Khal Drogo in Aquaman.
No.
Yeah.
Also, the dude that played Thanos, what's his name? He's always like, I'm a gravelly talking guy, but not Jeff Bridges.
I don't know.
Anyways, that guy.
Okay.
Who else is in it? Some ladies.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
ladies.
Oh, Zendaya's in it.
Oh, yeah. Zendaya's Chani.
Yeah.
Probably. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's true.
Who's playing Jessica? Is it like...
I'm not sure.
Oh, it's not Kate Blanchett, is it?
I don't think so. That feels
it
like a Kate Blanchett.
Be. I mean, everything should be Kate Blanchett,
mm-hmm.
really. Let's be honest.
Also, possibly CeeDee Lamb, wide receiver
that?
For the Dallas Cowboys.
That's
because
weird.
He was in this crazy... I was watching football the other day, and he was in a commercial. And he was like dressed up like a Fremen. He had blue eyes. He was running through the desert. The whole thing. It was like a Dune commercial.
Okay.
It was... And I was like, what? I don't understand. Is he like in the movie? Or is this just like a cross promotion for Dune and football? Two things I never thought I'd see put together.
Dune and football.
Growing up as a little nerd. Yeah, that's a good point. But
apparently a lot of people like Dune and football, because like a lot of people like Dune and a lot of people like football.
Yeah, like, and they're not, they're sometimes the same people.
Yeah, I mean, there's got to be at least some Venn diagram there, or yeah, overlap on that Venn diagram, I mean.
Mm-hmm.
We're really playing with fire at the mm-hmm. time that we're recording this podcast, because one it's of our cats very close really to thinks
time to
is
get wet cat food.
Time to feed her.
Yeah, and she's not wrong.
She's not totally wrong.
We're getting close.
But she's also not the boss of me.
No. We got a good 20 minutes until it's time to actually feed you, Nico. So stuff your meows in a meak.
Yeah. And Scout has taken her position on the askew bed covers, which means we'll just have to sleep with the bed covers askew, probably.
Because we can't disturb her. No. And it is the time of the year where she is going to be doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Sleeping on the bed because it's cold.
Yeah.
That's how she do.
And we like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's we much appreciated. That. Thank you, Scout. We'd like to have your company.
We accept that Scout isn't going to be on the bed when it's warm out.
We do accept that.
Because she's like, she wants to be cool more than she wants our company.
We accept pretty much everything about having cats. Mm-hmm. Like, if you don't accept things about having cats, don't have cats.
I accept that a cat's going to walk across my face every morning and give me an allergy attack to wake me up.
That sucks.
You accept that there's going to be yarfs on the carpets
on
sometimes.
On the nice carpets.
They're gonna throw up on the nice carpets.
Yeah, and that they claw at the sofa. Mm-hmm.
They're going to claw at the sofa.
Yeah.
Your mom could not get over that fact.
No. I mean, it sucks. You know, I don't know. It's just like, what do you want? Do you want cats or sofa?
Yeah. You can have both, kind of.
I mean, we have a sofa.
We have a sofa. It used to be a nice sofa.
Yeah.
It's still pretty nice. It's just got cat scratches on it.
Yeah. It's great. Yeah. I mean, it's really comfy.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
The cats like it.
What else do you want out of a couch?
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I guess some people want it to be pristine, but that's just not realistic.
Some people want it to be Christine?
Yeah, they want to name their couch Christine. Mm-hmm. Like the car?
Yeah, like, is it comes alive, maybe, and kills people? And then it turns you evil, too, the more you sit on it.
That would be so fun. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. I just, like, I just feel like nothing in my house ever is trying to kill me, except Scout. But
yeah.
she doesn't realize she's not capable of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, she tries, and then she finds out. And she's just kind of, like, gives you a couple licks. Like, oh, sorry, I tried to murder you.
Mm-hmm. That's sweet that she does that.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you want to talk about?
Well, why don't we talk about Dune? Why don't we talk about what happened this first in the last first part of the last chapter of Dune? Oh my God.
Well, the Princess Ireland quote for this chapter was pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that one.
Oh, no, it's not. It's Sir. This one.
There it is.
Do you want to read it?
Sure.
Read it in your Princess Ireland voice that you're always doing around the house.
Okay. He was warrior and mystic, ogre and saint. The fox and the innocent, chivalrous, ruthless, less than a god, more than a man. There's no measuring Mardeeb's motives by ordinary standards. In the moment of his triumph, he saw the death prepared for him, yet he accepted the treachery. Can you say he did this out of a sense of justice? Who's justice, then? Remember, we speak now of the Mardeeb who ordered battle drums made from his enemy's skins. The Mardeeb who denied the conventions of his ducal past with a wave of the hand, saying merely, I am the Kwisatz Haderach. This is reason enough.
Very nice. You're giving me, like, shades of Rachel Dratch playing, like, Barbara Walters.
Wow, that's such a compliment, actually.
So what does that, how does that make you feel, that?
Well, I just feel like this is the first time the Princess Ireland, or at least in my recollection, which, to be fair, I have not come back to this book in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like this is the first time the Princess Ireland was like, hey, listen, like, Mahdieb was, like, kind of a dick sometimes. Mm-hmm.
He
was just like, whatever, I'm the Kwisatz Haderach, you don't need to know anything about why I'm doing what I'm doing.
And I think in this part of the book, the end, we're starting to see shades of that. Shades of, you know,
yeah.
All the while he's trying to, you know, deny the jihad or get through the jihad, he's becoming more and more jihad-like, I feel like.
You know, the pacing of this book has never made even a lick of sense to me. And this chapter also underscores that. It's like, okay, all right, I have one more chapter. Frank Herbert's like, I have one more chapter. I'm going to, like, make Madhav just start acting like a dick, and then I'll write a sequel.
So I was going to say, yeah, that's supposing that he's only got one more chapter, but really he's got only got more books. About 8 more books.
No, I know, but he's still got about 10,000 years. Like, what if I'm a person who just wants to read this book, which, as we know, I'm not, because I'm not even a person who wants to read this book.
I think you're a person who is going to begrudgingly read to the end and then refuse to read any appendices and be done with it.
Are you kidding? Of course I'm not reading any appendices. No way.
Of course. So, but yeah, I think that does set us up. I mean, the battle drums being made out of people's skins. That's gross. You know, that's a yucky thing to order. And you got to ask yourself, why would he want to order that? You know, what's the message you're sending there? It's not the message is I'm the worst thing that could ever happen to you. So
do you want me to do a recap?
Yeah, go for a recap. Yes, you do the recap, babe. I forgot that was the thing we did, and that's always fun.
Yeah. Okay, so IIRC, if I recall correctly.
And I'm sure you will.
I'm not sure that I will. But I'm pretty sure in the last chapter we, like, saw the battle, but, like, we didn't really know what the outcome of it was.
Well, we felt like rumblings and shakings, because I felt like we were with the Emperor, right? And then, like...
Oh, we definitely heard about it happening, but I feel like there wasn't, like, and then...
Oh, I thought, like, and then the Muad'Dib entered into the thingy.
Who knows?
Who could ever say?
Knows.
But we also, didn't we see that the Baron died? He got killed by...
I don't know. Alia? It's been really way too long. Oh my god, the Baron got killed by Alia? That's so cute.
Is that what happened in the last?
I just love the evil baby aspect of Dune. That's my favorite part. I think there should be a whole book just about Alia.
Mm-hmm.
Because, listen, listeners.
Yeah, here it is, right here. You know, he, like, grabs Alia, and he's like, I have her majesty. How, shall I dispatch her now? Yeah! He hurled her to the floor, clutched his left arm. I'm sorry, grandfather, Alia said. You've met the Atreides Gamjabar. She got to her feet and dropped a dark needle from her hand. And then, you know, he fucking dies.
Yeah. I mean, so, here's the thing. I have had multiple dreams since starting to read Dune about... adult talking babies that talk like adults.
Yeah.
I think I'm just really into it.
I don't know why you would ever watch the original Dune movie, but Alia is pretty creepy in that one, and they do dub her like with an adult woman's voice.
I'd just really be into a creepy baby aesthetic.
We could skip to the creepy baby parts.
Yeah, you know, I just feel like there's not enough Alia in Dune.
Okay, so that's kind of what we're setting up to. And then, like, the last thing that happened in the last chapter was, like, the Reverend Mother gets together and she's like, here's what we gotta do, you know, Emperor of the Universe. And he's like, okay, summon Count Fenrig, my, you know, assassin guy.
Okay, thanks for that refresher, because that explains a lot, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had forgotten all of that, slash probably barely remembered it when we recorded that episode.
So, what's happening in this chapter?
So, basically, Paul gets escorted back to the palace.
Yeah.
Or what they call it,
the old residency.
The Arakeen governor's mansion. Mm-hmm.
Which is where they were living before.
Yeah. And so he's, like, coming into the palace. He's talking to all these people. He's, like, trying to basically figure out what are all these different threads of things that could happen. He's, like, kind of like half in conversation
and
with...
and very much half in his own head, like going yeah. through like future doing yeah. his prescient thing.
He's just sort of passively like, oh, I'm sure nothing bad happened that can't be solved with money or whatever.
And then Gurney's like, hey, you know, sort of the Atreides thing is usually we care about people more than money. You know, he's like, their people, fucking people died as well, sir.
But, you know,
and this is maybe evidence that Paul is starting to become more and more of a dick.
Yeah, but I also do just really fundamentally understand the thing where you're, like, just trying to focus on some shit and you're only, like, half paying attention to
I mean, he's at he's in boss bitch mode right now.
Yeah, right.
He is just TCB, and he, in his mind, is like, I don't have time to think about who died and who survived and all that stuff.
And so Paul, like, knows that all these people he defeated are about to come into the governor's mansion.
Mm-hmm. He's, like, summoned the emperor and the whole emperor's entourage.
But has he summoned them? Because at one point in this chapter, so, like, somebody who's, like, observing this is like, oh my god, he didn't even know that was gonna happen, and yet he knew. Like, nobody told him, but he knew. But maybe it's just that nobody told him that they were coming, like, right then.
Well, well, there's also this part where you know, Alia sends him a message in through his prescience, I think, by just, like, turning to prescience camera in the future and being like, oh, hi, brother. By the way, I killed our grandfather, the Baron.
Oh, yeah. Wait, and how did Chani and Paul's son die?
Killed by in a Harkonnen attack or a Fed of in an attack during the war. It happened like two chapters ago.
Okay. And so the other thing is, like, Paul's like, oh, does Chani know about her son? Blah, blah, blah. And Chani's, like, really upset, and she's like, our son died, and he's like, don't worry, babe, there are more sons where that came from, which is a really fucking weird thing to say.
Yeah,
but
it's definitely
also
a weird thing to say.
Like, is he in this chapter, like, gearing up to marry the Princess Ireland? So is he basically, like, gearing up to just, like, be an ethically non-monogamous ruler or something?
I mean that's definitely what they seem to be saying, you know. Yeah. It's like, here's the answer to here's our way out of this puzzle, is, like, I marry Ireland. And even at a certain point,
I'm still gonna knock up Chani.
Because, like, Chani at one point's like, should I leave, while they're, like, talking, like, there's the
I think those are 602 through 606 spoilers. Right, babe,
I'm shutting up about 602 through 606.
Yeah,
we're only going to 601 today, so please continue, babe.
So, I don't know. Basically, Paul's just like, you do this, you blah blah. Here, I'm in charge.
Well, another thing that's happening is he's noticing, like, you know, Stilgar is also doing that. Like, all the Fremen are doing the thing.
That.
What's that?
Okay, I marked how Stilgar was, like, being really obedient to Paul, and Paul was just kind of like, oh damn, this is how the jihad happens, because this guy used to, like, be a, you know, stand for in his own right as a leader, and now he's just, like, doing what I want him to do.
He says, I have seen a friend become a worshiper, he thinks.
Yeah,
and it makes him feel lonely,
you know. Honestly, like, I don't know. It feels weird to say it, but I, like, kind of related to that feeling.
Yeah,
I'm just, like, you know, just leadership is lonely, I guess, you know. And sometimes you just want to be challenged. Like, I feel like sometimes in my job or whatever, like, I want people to challenge me. And I'm like, no, but, like,
heavy lies the head that wears the crown.
Right.
But on the other hand, it's good to beat a king.
Sure. Yeah, it's both. Yeah. And so he's basically, I don't know, I just feel like he's basically just prepping for all these people to come in for a lot of these pages.
Yeah, they're kind of like setting up for one heck of a conversation they're about to have.
I'm trying to figure out why I flagged this other thing that I flagged.
I think probably because this is where he starts talking to the Reverend Mother Gaius Helen Monaghan.
No, I don't think that's it.
No.
Because I didn't get to that part. Only you got to that part.
Are you sure? Okay. Jessica. Oh, yeah. I love this part where Jessica's like, where's Alia? And he's like, out doing what any good Fremen child should be doing in such times. She's killing enemy wounded and marking their bodies for water recovery teams.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like... It's like, argh, like slitting some guy's throat and then being like, hey guys, ring this one out, you know, putting a mark on, tag on. It's like, good for ringing out.
Yeah.
And then Jessica's like, that's fucking gross. And then he's like, well, that's, but it's a kindness what she's doing.
I just want Alia to have her own like spinoff movie, like Annabelle the Creation. Mm-hmm. Like Alia the Creation.
Well, then, you know? Yeah, she's a pretty big part of Dune Messiah.
Blech. Okay, that's so I think I just thought it was interesting that he said he's talking about wisdom, and then wisdom tempers love and puts a new shape on hate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I do think that the more you know, the harder it is to unabashedly or like without reservation just sort of like port yourself into things, you know.
Yeah, and this is kind of, I think this is another part of the evidence of him changing. He's saying his, you know, Jessica's saying, you know, I've had a hand in whatever you are.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, how would you like to live billions upon billions of lives, you know? And he's, you know, when he's
and
saying...
he's like, you should fear me.
Yeah, you should fear me. I'm the Kwisatz Haderach.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, crap. Really? You said you weren't. And he's like, no, I am.
So then he's like talking about marrying the Princess Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
So all these people, eventually, they come into the...
Well, and Jessica's like, and don't make the mistake your father made. And to her, you know...
Yeah, what does that mean? Because he married her and she's like a...
No, he didn't. No, he never married her.
Right, right.
That was the mistake. Yeah. And that was... He felt like it was a mistake. He should have married her, but she was only ever the royal consort or concubine.
Right, yeah.
And so that's what she's saying. Like, you love Chani. Don't make this mistake and, like, marry some broad and not, like, marry who you love.
Right.
That's
Nico interjecting in the okay.
Right. Still not time, Nico.
I don't know. Then this is where all the stuff happens with Chani, where mm-hmm. they talk about the sun being dead, and he's mm-hmm. like, "Don't worry, we can have more sons." And
she gave water to the dead.
Yeah, she did give water to the dead. AKA, she was crying.
And he's like, "NBD, we'll have more kids."
Yeah.
And then he gently moves her aside. It's like, all right, enough talk to you.
I feel like the most interesting thing here is that eventually all these people come in, the emperor's army or whatever, mm-hmm. right? And Paul is like, oh, I'm recognizing all these people, and he's recognizing them, I think, whether he's actually seen them IRL or mm-hmm. not.
Because he has the prescient vision.
Except for...
Count Fenrig.
I don't recognize this guy. He asks his mother who it is. He asks Jessica, and Jessica tells him. And then he's like, of all the times that I've been prescient about my death, I've never actually seen how I died, and so maybe the reason I don't recognize this guy is like, he's how I die.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's going on with him as far as Paul not seeing him in his prescient vision. That's a thing that happens like in later books with mm-hmm. certain characters, but it's like, that's like a special genetic thing, so I don't know if this is like the start of that or I don't know what's going on with Count Fenrig
mm-hmm.
right now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the other thing that happens in these 15 pages or whatever is that Thufir, right?
Yeah, Thufir's back.
Thufir comes back and he's like, Jessica, I'm really sorry that I, like, you know, thought you were a traitor, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And then he like steps forward to say that, and Paul's like, listen, Thufir, you can literally have anything you want right now, so if you want to kill me, like, mm-hmm. just do it now, please.
Mm-hmm.
And
then he whispers to him, like, for real, bro, do it now if you're gonna do it.
Yeah.
And what does he do?
He kills himself.
He does?
Well, he had the needle in his hand and then he dies.
Well, he died. Yeah, I'm not sure if he needles himself or if he's just got that, you know, he's got that anti-poison that he's supposed to eat all the time. And if he doesn't eat it, then he dies. I think that's what I would think was happening. And then he was like showing the needle to the Emperor. He's like, see, Emperor, you thought I was going to stick this needle in Paul, but I've been an Atreides guy for so long. Why the hell would I ever do that? And, you know, can't argue with him.
All right. Well, whatever. Thufir dies. I thought he killed himself. But maybe in a way he did kill himself. I mean, like... Because was he not taking the antidote on purpose?
I don't know if he ever knew about the antidote.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Okay. I don't know. Does anything else happen that I forgot about?
Let's see. Lady Jessica. Yeah. No, he does the Lady Jessica thing. And then we're... Oh, yeah. So here's a couple of things. Now he's talking to the Emperor a little bit, and the Emperor is like, hey, you violated the Great Convention.
The whole guild thing,
too. You used atomics against me. Yeah, oh, right. Where'd the guild thing happen?
So there's the guild thing where basically, like, the guild is like, oh, we're gonna...
Oh, yeah, that's after this thing with the Emperor, where the Emperor is like, hey, you shot atomic bombs at us. And he was like, I shot atomic bombs at, like, a mountain, because the mountain was in my way. Because I wanted to talk to you.
Oh, I don't remember that. Emperor.
And then the guild guys come up good and say what the guild guys
do. Well, I don't know. The guild is like, we're gonna embargo you, and mm-hmm. Paul's like, you can't embargo us, we control the spice, mm-hmm. and I can destroy the spice. And they're like, but then you're gonna screw over all these people who are addicted to the spice, but
including you yourself.
Yeah.
And he's like, pfft.
He's basically just like, you guys have had like false control over this
mm-hmm.
commodity for too long, and
yeah.
let's just acknowledge that I actually control it.
And he was kind of like thinking about it. He was like, they should have gained control of Arrakis a long time ago, and they didn't. They instead decided to become like a parasitic organization on mm-hmm. the Empire, and now it's too late. Now he controls the spice.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't control it now. And so now they kind of like, they bluster about that, but then they realize it because they're guild navigators and they've got prescience. And they see that if they go along, out of the way, you purr thing. If they don't acquiesce to his demands, he is going to destroy the spice. And that's like a blank wall for their life and civilization.
Mm-hmm.
And so they basically, it's kind of a nice cheat, you know, look into the future. You'll see that I'm not bluffing.
Mm-hmm.
And then they like looked and it's like, oh, he's not bluffing. Mm-hmm. All right. I guess you have to really commit to the bluff for it to actually show up in the future.
Yeah.
Okay. A possible future.
Was there anything else interesting that happened?
Well, babe, I think that is the end for that part of the chapter, because you didn't read all the way to 605 like I did.
No, nobody was ever supposed to read to 605.
I know. I know that now.
Okay, so what do you have any questions?
Do I have any questions for you?
Yeah.
Yeah, what are you thinking? How, like, we just jumped back into Dune from, like, a long time from now. How are you feeling about Dune? Have you had enough of a Dune rest, or do you still feel like Dune is not Dune-ing it for you?
I don't know. I guess I'm just real jarred by this thing where Paul at the end here is just like, listen, all y'all can fuck yourselves. I'm in charge. I know what's best.
Mm-hmm.
Get out of my way. I'm going to make decisions based on my prescience, even though...
I mean, yeah, this is the day he truly became also, president.
Like, admitting
mm-hmm.
in the... Is this total omniscient? It's like
send the message
like to limited omniscient. Anyway, like we know that Paul is basically being like, I am not actually hundo P sure like which of these threads to follow.
Mm-hmm.
They all seem to lead to jihad. He's like thinking about it really hard. Which direction should I go here?
Mm-hmm.
And yet he's acting like he can do no wrong.
And I think that to me, maybe that's like, he's got to bluster it out no matter what happens, because like if he acts unsure maybe at this point, then that will result in like the jihadiest jihad of all or something.
That's what's wrong with politics.
I think the thing is, maybe, you know, now he's coming into the realization that like maybe Jihad's coming and the best thing he could do is just to try to like get on top of that sandworm and ride it, because mm-hmm. then at least he's in control of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's better to do that than to just let it, let no one be in control. Yeah. Which, I mean, I feel like we've heard people kind of talk like this in recent times, politically, and it never ends up being that great.
We've heard people talking about getting on top of the sandworm and riding it.
Yeah, like, oh, there's a crazy person in control, but I'll be like the adult in the room or the power behind this. Uh-huh. So, like, there's a bunch of chaos happening, but right. I can like ride it out and make it
yeah
not so bad.
Yeah.
Or, you know, prevent the worst excesses. So you think
Paul's a Trump?
No, I think Paul's like a guy behind Trump and like trying to control MAGA. Or something.
That doesn't... Not, I don't know if that metaphor totally maps.
No, maybe not.
Yeah, I don't know. I just... Mm-hmm. Ready to be done with this book.
Okay. All right. Well, true to the premise that we set about maybe almost 2 years ago at this point...
No, like a year and a half.
We are going to have to force feed the last scant pages of this book to Caitlin. Because she does not like it. Oh man, I just started watching Foundation, the TV uh-huh. series, and I love it. I think it's so great. I recommend it to people who actually like Dune, because that was like my other favorite science fiction like mm-hmm. classic was mm-hmm. Foundation. Mm-hmm. And I feel like they're doing a really interesting thing in it. Lee Pace is the emperor of the universe.
Yeah, I mean, Lee Pace.
It's got Lee Pace in it. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Give me a break. And it's just like a fun retelling of like, they're really digging in and like making a meal out of what's a very short book, really.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Hmm.
It's a short book that's like a lot of, that's basically a lot of conversations about, you know, about hypothetical future technology.
I feel like when I've been in the room when you're watching this, the thing that annoys me about it is, like, the futurism aesthetic, mm-hmm. like, always feels the same.
Oh, I dig what they're doing. You know, they're, like, really going for it. Because, you know, that show is supposed to be, like, you know, 80,000 years in the future or something like that. It's supposed to be way far out there. Like Dune. And also, like Dune, a big part of the plot is that literally, like, they've figured out what's going to happen in the future, and the future is, like, predetermined.
Ugh, so boring.
And, I know, it's, like, the opposite of what you would want, again, just like Dune is.
But I also feel like this whole thing where, like...
What you would want, not what I would want. I love it.
The futurist aesthetic is, like, really, like, Spartan and, like... And, like, streamlined and, like, Apple, you know.
I
feel like, no, because all we've ever seen is shit get, like, more and more cheap and commercial and shitty.
Well, but what about the idea that, like, okay, now we pretty much just need the phone, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas used to be we needed big computers and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And... I think the aesthetic they're kind of they're going for is like this, they're stripping away all the unnecessaries. Like in the future, you don't need a chiffre robe. Bust it up. You don't need it because your clothes just get like zapped onto you and then zapped off again.
But I like chiffre robes.
Yeah. Well, some people can have them, you know, if they didn't all get destroyed in the huge chiffre robe busting up of like 30,043.
There's not going to be any chiffre busting up because it's going to be post-racial.
There was a chiffre of jihad.
So the thing is, you can't accuse anybody of rape for busting up your chiffre because it's going to be a post-racial.
Well, that is the thing in Foundation. Clearly, is post-racial.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all about what planet you're from.
I don't know. Like, see, that's the thing. It's like, I'm not sure that post-racialism feels like the ideal to me.
Mm-hmm. You want to be...
Post... I don't know if
that's... You want to be everybody's... Has their race and everyone loves it?
I guess I just want it to be like, let's always acknowledge the history of mm-hmm. where we came from. And like, I don't know. You know, it's been...
Yeah, it's been...
hundreds of years
mm-hmm.
And there are still huge racial disparities mm-hmm. in this country mm-hmm. because of shit that happened hundreds of years ago. And
like the Atreides and the Harkonnens, that shit started hundreds of years ago. They're still mad about it.
It's just hard for me. Like, how far into the future are we going to have to get where really there is that gap is like addressed? I mean, I think mm-hmm. we'd need a reparations program.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I feel like the way that like post-racial like futurism is portrayed is it's like, and now we just pretend none of that ever happened. It's mm-hmm. like, no, don't pretend none of it ever happened. Like, do shit about what happened. Like,
so
Dave, accountability, you know,
this what you're talking about makes me think about a another science fiction author series who's writing about the future. And it's, I'm thinking of David Brin's, I can't remember what they call it, but it's like, maybe they call it the Uplift series, because a big conceit of it is that in the future, it turns out that like every sentient species was like created by an earlier sentient species, mm-hmm. including humans. But we kind of got lost and couldn't remember who created us. And of course, and like clearly like forgot that because we don't know it now. But in the meantime, we started creating our own sentient species with dolphins and chimpanzees and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then we meet the rest of the... Anyways, the point is, they have a another conceit of the story is that it is a sort of post-racialish society. But and the way it was achieved there was basically they kind of solved psychology and made it so that people didn't... So that like people, like 100% of the people kind of have enough mental health care, and mental health care is like good enough at like solving problems like trauma and stuff that you can.
Like, well, really... I mean, that's part of it.
Yeah.
That's a chunk of it.
Mm-hmm. It's like everyone in the world kind of like can get legitimately like psychically healed or mentally healed.
But I also think that in order for us to heal from racial trauma, mm-hmm. like that we have to do that in community to some mm-hmm. extent, you know? So I don't know if that's part of that mm-hmm. narrative.
But... What about like meeting aliens and like thousands of different kinds of like extraterrestrials makes us come together as a species? Do you think that's realistic?
Yeah.
Like,
no, because I thought the like, left would, you know, like come together under Trump, and it didn't happen. So
like if we meet aliens, and
I don't really,
not everyone's gonna be like, hey, we're all humans after all.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think the common enemy thing really works for us.
What about a common frenemy? What if they're not our enemies, but they're just weird?
Is that your definition of a frenemy?
Well, yeah, they're not. Yeah, you know, I have friends. I have enemies, and then I have people that
are not aliens,
I only like them because they're weird. I only dislike them because they're weird. But other than that, no, that's not true. I don't have that for real.
I feel like my definition of a frenemy is more like this, like we look like we get along on the surface, but there's some shit.
Totally.
Yeah.
So what if we had that relationship but with like the aliens we meet?
I think
or we're just kind of well, bitchy behind
I think
their
District
back.
9 is a really likely scenario mm-hmm. of how humans would deal with
we just alien. Apartheid them.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
that's what we do. We're shitty, fucked up mm-hmm. people.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean,
beware, aliens. We're not ready. So you know, Klaatu, just keep
listen.
On
if they can come in and figure trying. Out a way to make us stop. Doing apartheid, because I think in a lot of ways we're still doing apartheid.
Sure.
All the power to them. I'd love that. I'd love anybody to come in and be like, yo, stop doing ridiculous shit that hurts people.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bad idea. And I'd be like, I know, I'm with you. I've been trying to say that.
Yeah. Well,
thanks, aliens.
Bye, aliens. Thanks for wait, what do the aliens do? They're pointing out our hypocrisy?
No, they're just like, hey, we figured out a way to stop you from being shitty to each other.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
So kind of like the day the earth stood still.
I don't know. I've never seen that.
Oh, you haven't? That's no. a good one, too.
Is it?
I don't want to. Yeah, it's a classic. Sci-fi classic.
Okay,
it's
maybe.
It's from the 50s.
I'll do a maybe on that one.
It's a good one. It's like you watch it in film school.
I didn't go to film school.
Well, I mean film class in high school.
I didn't go to film class in anywhere.
Really? Why not? Man, when I heard that they were off in film class, I was like, watch movies and get credit for it. Sign me up, baby.
Yeah, you know, maybe you're right. Maybe I should have done that.
Mm.
Yeah.
Just seemed like a no-brainer to me.
I don't know. I kind of feel like I didn't get to take that many electives in college. Like, I was always trying to...
This was in
to...
high school still.
Oh, well, I definitely didn't have that in high school.
Mm.
We had, like, the bare bones in high school.
I'm sorry.
Well, you know, we're just like a little...
We're just playing with these bare bones.
Yeah, exactly.
Just throw them around.
Every class was about the bare bones. Math was about like count the bare bones, mm-hmm. divide the bare bones, add the bare bones, you know.
What was science like?
Science was like, look at the bare bones under a microscope. Mm-hmm. What are these bare bones made of? Mm-hmm.
So what were they made of?
Chemistry.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then
what about English language arts?
English language arts was like write a poem about the bare bones, mm-hmm. Read this book, and use the bare bones to like guide you as you go, like as so, a like, bookmark.
Take a bare bone and like just run it over the page, like yeah. under the words you're reading.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does that help?
Yeah, totally.
Okay.
It does. And then let's see. History was yeah. just like,
where did these bear bones come from?
Yeah.
Who was this bear?
Yeah.
When it was alive.
Oh my God, you wouldn't believe it. We traced that bear all the way back to Thomas Jefferson.
Wow.
Yeah.
He was Thomas Jefferson's bear?
No, he wasn't Thomas Jefferson's bear. His like great-great-grandfather was Thomas Jefferson's servant.
Oh, quote unquote.
Yeah.
Okay.
But we all know Thomas Jefferson was out there fucking bears.
He's fucking everything from what I understand.
Yeah.
Mm.
Good for him, you know.
Was it? Sounds like it was not consensual most of the time.
Just get it in. Okay,
no, I don't think a bear can consent.
Okay, yeah, you're right. No, don't do that.
Okay. It's a good discussion to end on.
I don't know. How do we do this podcast? Do we do it right?
Yeah, we pretty much did it right. We usually would give a shout out to the Twitter, but I mean, come on, guys. If you're listening to episode 39 or whatever this is, my_dune is where you can reach us on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have Facebook, which is My Girlfriend Begrudgingly Reads Dune. You can just check that out. Or MGBRD Can O Worms.
Mm-hmm.
You can talk to us about mm-hmm. things at on Facebook. And mm-hmm. that's great. And that's where we're at. And love to see you, babe.
Good love job. To we see did it ya, again. Babe. Good job.
You always used to go like, bye, love you, bye.
Oh, no, I'll do it.
All right. Well, okay. So that's it for us.
Okay.
This has been My Girlfriend Begrudgingly Reads Dune.
Okay. Thanks. Love you. Bye.
Bye.